Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're here for the next 25 minutes. It's live radio. So, we're prone to mistakes that we can't take back because we can't erase them because they're live. Mm-hmm. I guess we do have a 6 or 7 second delay. No, we don't. It's just straight up. That's why we don't take calls. One of the reasons. This is just unfiltered, in the moment, talking. Listen, real quick before we go to Rob West, we were talking. Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning.
Now, good morning, Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Good morning, Tim.
Yeah, just call me Bland. Just call me Tim Khaki.
Tim Wildman. Khaki.
Tim Khaki Wildman, that's what I'm usually wearing.
Yeah.
What kind of pattern we got going on
it's
today?
It's a floral pattern.
Floral pattern, yeah. It's not paisley per se.
But it's very conservative compared to what he wore yesterday.
Yeah, I know. Yesterday was flower child stuff.
Peace and love.
Yeah, peace and love. Yeah, you're from California, right?
That's true.
Real quickly, we talked last hour. You know, President Trump issued a statement yesterday saying he was thinking about not participating in any kind of Republican debates because he didn't get to set the terms or pick the place or the interviewers. Is that an unfair characterization, Fred,
no.
of what he said? We could quote it again, but that's basically what he's upset about. Mm-hmm. He said, nobody checked with me. But now listen to this. So you wonder, why would President Trump want to skip out on the Republican debates? Now, one thought would be he's thinking I'm so far ahead in the polls, I don't need to debate. All politicians
Which
do
is kind of what he intimated in that.
Yeah, he said his lead was almost insurmountable.
Right.
I don't believe that, but that's what
it's
he said.
It's going to close up
okay,
real fast.
It's going to close up because it's going to get closer. Once Governor DeSantis officially announces, I think he will close the gap. Whether he will be able to catch and pass former President Trump, I don't know. But the gap will close between the two men, those two in particular. However, this gentleman on on Twitter, I don't know who he I don't follow him. It's just somebody came up in my Twitter feed. Because somebody else that I follow Jenna Ellis and Elon Musk, and that's it. I'm new to Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But it is interesting if you're a news junkie like me to see these kinds of posts, because a lot of times they're just from individuals who want to comment. They're an average American.
Mm-hmm.
So this gentleman, his name is Bill Mitchell. He says this. He says, here's a new wrinkle to the Trump debate fiasco. That's what he calls it. I'm sure President Trump would not call it a fiasco. He would say, no, I'm acting on my beliefs. Okay, that's fine. But this gentleman says, do you want to know why Trump doesn't want to do the first Fox News debate that was arranged by his good friend, Ronna McDaniel? Ronna McDaniel is the chairman of the Republican National Committee. This is what this gentleman says, which made me go, He says, because before the debate, she, Ronna McDaniel, is going to demand a loyalty pledge that everyone will support the eventual Republican nominee. Now, given the fact that President Trump can't stand Governor DeSantis, and he's made that clear in his comments, could it be, Fred, that President Trump would want to stay away from, like this gentleman saying, stay away from the debate because he is unwilling to sign a pledge that he will support the eventual nominee of the Republican Party if it's not him? What do you think about that?
Well, I think that is a distinct possibility. I would be disappointed if that is the reason that he has for not wanting to participate in the debate. And here's why. The Republican Party needs to come together, whoever's on top of the ticket.
That's true.
To defeat Biden, because this country is in serious shape right now.
That's true.
In dire need of correction. I think a President Trump or a President DeSantis would do a great job, or maybe a Tim Scott or whatever the case may be. But if you have
a conservative.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
But if you have an individual who says, no, I'm not willing to sign such an agreement because I think I'm better than everybody else, and if I don't get it, then I'm going to be really angry, and I might try to get my name on the ticket as a third party.
Well, Steve, here's why I don't blame Ronna McDaniel. She's the chairman of the Republican National Committee, okay? The Republican Party is a business. I mean, it's an entity. It's a organization. It takes a lot of money.
Yeah.
To elect
a president.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And support governor's races and Senate races and all this. So she's saying, and by the way, she and Trump are tight. This is what's odd about this situation. Trump supported her for a Republican National Committee. But what's odd here is, if Trump doesn't want to commit to supporting the Republican nominee, she's asking that all the candidates pledge that at the end of the day, when the voters have decided, that they will support whoever the Republican nominee is. And the reason I don't blame her for that, she and the Republican Party are making a huge investment into the debates and funding whoever the president will be. And she wants to know, listen, are you all in? Even if you lose, because we got to have that. If we're going to make the commitment, then we need you to make the commitment. That's what she's saying. So I don't blame her for that. But it'll be interesting to see, Steve, whether or not the former president ultimately agrees to do the debates and make that kind of pledge.
Has Ronna McDaniel actually said that that's what she's going
to do? Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Well, she's made it clear.
Yeah, there's no way that, first of all, if that's the reason that Donald Trump the real reason he's not going to debate is because he can't pledge that he'll support the candidate, that is...
I think he'll say that. If that's the reason, I think he'll come out and say it. President Trump's he's not very good about hiding his feelings.
That
go ahead.
That might be a sign, though, that we just don't know where this guy is. He going to start a third party run? Is he going to say, I deserve this? I've got supporters.
Yeah.
I think it would be an act of suicide, political suicide.
I think it will be interesting to see. Seriously doubt whether President Trump would run third party, even if he doesn't win the Republican nominee. It takes a lot of money, a lot of time, energy, and effort. And it's not as easy as just saying, sign me up for 50 states on November the whatever it is, 2024. Ross Perot tried this, you remember, two, 3 decades ago, a billionaire mm-hmm. from Texas. Mm-hmm. And He got registered in, I think, 35 states or so. Even he wasn't, there's a threshold you have to meet. There's registration forms. There's a lot of conditions in many states to run for president. And even Ross Perot, with all what he had going for him, and he garnered about 12% of the vote when he ran for president the two times.
It still draws away votes.
A lot of people think he cost George H.W. the election, because he drew votes away from him.
Yeah.
That went to Bill Clinton. All right. Well, it'd be interesting to see what President Trump does. But right now he's upset about the Republican debate situation. And he's made it clear that he's leaning against participating in the Republican debates. Well, joining us now is our good friend Rob West from the Atlanta area, and Rob's heard each day here on American Family Radio on the hour just preceding ours from 9 to 10 o'clock Central Time, Faith and Finance. How you doing, Rob?
I'm good. I think we actually do have a 6-second delay on our program. I don't know that we've ever used it, but
is that just so you in case you make a financial
that's right
tax comment tax that you want to take back
right
in 6 seconds the stock market changes.
We decided to air President Trump live one time and wished we had a six second delay.
Yeah. That's risky business right there. All right, Steve, pose a question to Rob that we want to talk about here.
All right. So
a couple things we want to discuss.
Right. First one is this. There is a the White House has asked the Federal Reserve to start laying the groundwork for what's called a central bank digital currency. They say it's programmable, trackable, easily manipulated, and there are a lot of people that have a concern with it. I want to play a little clip here setting this up from Justin Haskins of the Heartland Institute, and he's got some of these concerns. Cut four.
There's nothing conspiratorial about it. We know for a fact that the Biden administration and the Federal Reserve are laying the groundwork for a programmable, traceable, trackable central bank digital currency. And there needs to be pushback from every single part of the political spectrum. I don't care if you're a socialist. There are aspects to this that are really terrifying that I think the average socialist walking down the street wouldn't want. I mean, do you think the average socialist would want a President Donald Trump to have the ability to know every single purchase that they're making? I don't think so. So I think all people who want even a shred of freedom should be opposed to this, and their representatives in government need to take a stand against it now before it's too late.
Rob, what is digital currency, and are you concerned about it?
I am. Yeah, I mean, it would be essentially a currency of the central bank. Think of this as a digital dollar. The problem is exactly what was just described: the possibility for tremendous loss of privacy. You know, they know who has it. They impose the rules. They could conceivably limit transactions. You know, and even if the government policy was to protect, so it wasn't a social control mechanism, well, they don't control their own bureaucracies. So if they're harvesting that data can be leaked. Now, at this point, it's white papers written by people who have no authority to implement anything. And I can't imagine Congress getting on board with this. In fact, there's been a lot of folks very vocal against it. A lot of state treasurers are getting into the fray right now. We know Governor DeSantis announced comprehensive legislation to protect Floridians from any kind of CBDC, and specifically stating that it wouldn't be able to be used as a part of Florida's Uniform Commercial Code. So this is just the beginning of that. But yeah, there's a real reason for concern on this.
Are we talking, forgive my ignorance, but I'm probably, like a lot of people on this, just learning about it. But are we talking about something that would replace cold hard cash, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you know, there's not anything that would say this is a new currency. This is essentially a digital dollar, and there's not anything that I've seen that would say that legal paper tender goes away. But you could see how that this would be a path toward eventually a completely digital currency. But at this point, it would live alongside the dollar. Obviously, anything done with the CBDC is entirely trackable, traceable.
Well,
and
how's that different? I think I know the answer to this question, but maybe a lot of people haven't. How's that different than my debit card? My debit card, I'm not using physical dollars. Now, yes, granted, it shows up on my bank account immediately after I use it, but still, how that's digital.
It is. Yeah. The difference is, though, that, you know, when you make a deposit into your bank, that becomes the property of the depository bank. You're, in essence, a creditor of the bank, and then they lend it out, but they have to refund the same amount to you on demand. But that's not that data where you spend that is not being transmitted to the government. With a CBDC, all that information is now residing with the U.S. government.
You know, a lot of people are concerned, Rob, it's Fred here. A lot of people are concerned that we might see what we saw in Canada during the truckers' dispute, mm-hmm. when the Prime Minister Trudeau there said, okay, I'm putting a stop to this protest, and here's how I'm going to do it. I'm taking control of your bank accounts, where you pay your payments on your trucks, guys, all that sort of thing. You're not going to be able to do any transactions because I'm taking control of your bank account. This would make it easier for a federal government to do this kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it's an incredibly destructive to privacy and personal liberty, because there absolutely, it's very conceivable that there could be a limit on transactions if we move in this direction. And that's why, you know, this coinage is not a function of the Fed. This is not something that can be done apart from Congress. So that's why we need to be aware of this, watching it, and speaking up about it.
All right.
Talking to Rob West here. Rob, have you written on this, or you got something on your website about
all
this?
We haven't yet, but it's something we've started to talk about more extensively, and there'll be more in the days ahead for sure.
Go, Steve.
Hey, Rob, there's another story we wanted to run by you if we could. There is a plan out there. Republicans are kind of concerned with this. He sent a letter on Tuesday promising action if the Biden administration doesn't reverse changes it wants to increase mortgage costs for homeowners with good credit in order to help riskier credit homeowners. What's going on here?
This is a really bad idea at any time. It's particularly bad now, imposing an extra tax in the midst of what's going on in the mortgage industry. There's something called a loan level price adjustment, which is basically risk-based pricing adjustments that vary based on your credit score, your loan-to-value, the type of product. Well, the challenge is they're trying to lower those loan level price adjustments on those folks who have poor credit. They want to get the cost down. Well, they're doing that in order to achieve certain goals, social justice goals. The problem is they're punishing high credit worthy people to subsidize those low credit worthy people. So here's the reality of what's happening. You have a good credit score, you're putting down a good 20% down payment on your loan, and in an effort for them to reduce the loan level price adjustment for someone who has poor credit and virtually no down payment, they're going to pass that cost along to you. It's a terrible idea. I mean, this kind of thing is what led to the crisis of 2008 and 2009, as the banks were just giving loans out to people who didn't have the right credit. This is similar, except now it's specifically targeting people who have good credit.
Yeah.
Is this something, Rob, that has to pass through the House, or does the president, through his executive actions, can he do this?
Yeah, so this is coming down through the Federal Housing Finance Authority, and what the two Republicans that have issued a directive have said is that you need to reverse course on this at the FHFA, or we're going to introduce legislation that would basically require you to undo this and take steps to eliminate this kind of tax on creditworthy borrowers and other forms in the future.
Okay, Rob, well, give me something good that you see on the horizon. Rob, looking out there, do you think there's a housing price is going to come down? A car is going to become?
Both of those are actually improving. I mean, housing prices are coming down, although we still have a housing shortage in this country of 2 to 3 million homes. So it's really a function of the looming recession and mortgage rates. Car prices are coming down because we're dealing with chip shortages and supply chain issues. And so new car lots are filling up, and that's causing new and used cars to decline.
What's a, quote, looming recession, Rob? I didn't lie. I stopped listening after that. Do you really think that's going to happen in the next?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't raise rates as quickly as the Fed has and not have a recession. We're headed into one. The question is, how deep is it going to be?
Yeah. All right, Rob. Thanks, my friend. Appreciate you partnering with us here on AFR. I'm glad to have you as a part of our team each weekday.
Always enjoy it, my friends. Thank you.
Okay, Rob.
Just one more thing on this central bank digital currency. A lot of folks who read Bible prophecy and teach Bible prophecy say this may be connected to this one world currency someday. A central government that has control over how much currency you have, where you spend it, and can withdraw that currency at any time. It is federal government control over how you carry out your life.
That's no different than any totalitarian regime.
China's doing it right now.
Yeah, they just raid your. They don't like what you're doing. They raid your bank account. They shut you down. They end your life.
Yes.
I mean, that's the kind of control we're potentially talking about if we go over to digital currency.
Mm-hmm.
rather than now he said, Rob said, at least at the outset, we would still have physical dollars and such, but the incentives would be to everybody to go digital.
Yes. Anyway, that's not what Justin Haskins thought in his.
What did he think?
Yeah, well, in his op-ed that we kind of base this off of, he says it will not be. It'll be a brand new currency. It'll replace the dollar. So I maybe that's the path that they're going towards. Maybe Rob's.
I didn't have Rob back on sometime and ask him what he thinks of cryptocurrency. Maybe
that's
know
a whole different thing. But yeah, it's an interesting.
I know he's addressed it on his show before, yeah. But I. When we're getting ready for this show, we're not listening to the right. hour before us that much. All right, Steve, what else you got?
Well, we have heard from our president. He has announced that he's going to run for president again. He's going to be wants to be reelected, and he's bringing Kamala Harris along with him as vice president. And it's good to know because there's got to be somebody that can communicate with as President Biden gets more and more. unable to really put a current thought together. It's good that his vice president is there to back him up. And so this is from her first comments since the announcement that they're going to run again, cut eight.
So I think it's very important, as you have heard from so many incredible leaders, for us at every moment in time, and certainly this one, to see the moment in time in which we exist and are present, and to be able to contextualize it, to understand where we exist in the history and in the moment as it relates not only to the past but the future.
What does that mean?
She doesn't know. She just thought of a bunch of words that sounded, sound like the beginning of like a Star Trek episode or something like that. I don't know.
I'm at a loss.
She just has to choose her dressing, okay? Whether it's Thousand Island, ranch, honey mustard, but it's a word salad. You can count on it about every day. What was that, Fred?
Seize the moment
of our present.
Contextualize
history of where we are.
Gee, I love chocolate pudding.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. That's one of those questions. I don't know. They got to find a way to drop her. Okay, I say pay her off. If I'm a Democrat money person, I'm saying give Kamala. I don't know. Give her $10 million and tell her to go away, because she's a disaster, huh?
That would be the DNC's job at that point.
Well, I'd do it. Yeah. I'm telling you. People may say, "Well, that's wrong." Well, no.
Does anybody
even
remember that she was appointed by Joe Biden as the border czar?
Oh yeah,
border czar.
After that, she said she didn't want that job. I mean, she, huh?
She went,
why does he always give me the hard jobs?
That's she went that's to she, the El Paso, got off the plane.
Yeah, at made the airport. Speech. That was her border czar job.
Yep.
She doesn't. I don't know. It's a comical but sad situation right there.
Ooh.
But there you go. When you're chosen because of your gender and your skin color and not for your credentials, that this is what happens, sadly. Anyway, that's Biden's problem right there. He doesn't even know he has one. But where's the ice cream? Somebody pass the ice cream. See you tomorrow, everybody.